Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! Ha-ha! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Finals!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Welcome to Drive Time Sports. Right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Happy to be along with you. And as we continue to move a little deeper into the NFL season, I thought today we'd do a best of Drive Time Sports and replay a couple of interviews that we have had with NFL players, especially the San Francisco 49ers. How about that 49er team all the way around? They've played great so far this season. I want to go back a couple of years ago. We did an interview with a really unique player in the game, Ricky Waters. And I say he's unique because he did rush for 1,000 yards with three different teams. And he's a part of one of the greatest football teams of all time. Won a Super Bowl back in 1994 with the San Francisco 49ers. Played his college football at Notre Dame, where he had a lot of success there as well. Ricky was kind enough to join us on the show. I was so excited for that interview because I grew up watching Ricky Waters play for the Golden Domers and then, of course, win a Super Bowl with the 49ers. And so we're going to play that interview on the show. And then we can kind of tie this into San Francisco as well. It wasn't that long ago we were joined by San Francisco Giant Pro Bowler defensive end Leonard Marshall. Of course, he is known for the hit on Joe Montana, which pretty much ended Montana's days in San Francisco and opened up the doors for Steve Young. I think you're going to like both these interviews. If you have heard them before, maybe you'll pick up something this go around. Maybe a new story from these guys that'll stick with you. I'm looking forward to it. The best of Drive Time Sports is coming up when we return. And again, you're going to hear from San Francisco 49er, Philadelphia Eagle, and Seattle Seahawk running back Ricky Waters, plus New York Giant defensive end Leonard Marshall. It's coming up next here on Drive Time Sports.
It's 6 a.m. and you jump out of bed to get the day started. Is the first thought in your head, how will I get everything done today? The kids have sports practice, need help with homework, and you have a meeting for the club you just joined. Plus, the grocery shopping hasn't been done in 2 weeks. There's nothing to cook for dinner. KFC can take care of dinner for you. Stop by and order a $20 fill-up meal. Your choice of chicken, large coleslaw, 4 biscuits, and 2 large mashed potatoes and gravy. Delicious dinner, affordable, and filling. KFC, saving your time and your dinner.
The choice is yours. Sutherland's Friends of the Family Plus Consumer Credit Card lets you choose from 5% off instantly at the register or special financing on qualifying purchases. That means no forms, no waiting, no rebates. You can choose 5% off instantly with your Sutherland's Credit Card. Got a big project? Choose special financing. The choice is yours with Sutherland's Friends of the Family Plus Consumer Credit Card. Subject to credit approval, minimum monthly payment required. See store for details. Only at Sutherland's.
You can have a healthy, beautiful smile at any age. Orthodontic treatment is a viable option for almost any adult. Like kids, adults can experience the self-assurance that comes with a confident smile, along with the benefits of improved oral health. Hillstead Orthodontics would like to help you on your orthodontic journey. Come in for a free consultation and see how Hillstead Orthodontics can get you on your way to a beautiful smile. Affordable payment plans are available. Now, as a kid, you might not have been able to afford braces, but now you can. Call 637-2222 for an appointment today.
The King Cole Theater presents Family Nights. That's right. Come see a movie with the whole family every Tuesday at 5:30, and everyone gets in for the matinee price of just $6. This is a great way to get the whole family out together without breaking the bank. Family time is valuable, and the King Cole Theater wants to make it possible. So plan on taking your family to the movie on Tuesdays at 5:30. The same great movies at a matinee price. For movie listings, see their website, pricetheater.com, or call the movie hotline at 650-0500.
You are listening to the best of Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 and 103.9 FM. The play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
Back here on Drive Time Sports, Jordan Buscarini alongside Travis Anderson. Always happy to be along with you on these afternoon drives. So thrilled to bring in our next guest, Ricky Waters, former Notre Dame running back, won a national championship with the Irish, was selected in the second round of the 1991 NFL draft by the San Francisco 49ers. It was there he went on to win a Super Bowl. He is also one of two players in NFL history to rush for over 1,000 yards with three separate teams. And Ricky, wow, what a pleasure to have you on today. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be on.
Ricky, you are in the middle of a very unique situation, and I'm so glad that you took the time to come on the show to talk about your experience right now. Several years after leaving the University of Notre Dame, you've actually enrolled back with the school, and you're finishing what you've started.
Yes, I am, and pretty funny. But it's not so funny because coming down to the fourth quarter now, and it's pretty serious. They're not cutting me any slack, so you can understand. Notre Dame doesn't cut you slack, especially when it comes to academics. So it's a tough situation, but it's a great situation to be in, and I'm happy to be back and able to do it.
What was it that clicked in your mind that said, you know what, I want to go back to college and get my degree?
Well, I've always felt like I wanted to finish it. It was something that from the beginning I wanted to do. It was just, when can I do it? When can I do it? How can I do it? I actually took some classes at USF when I was drafted by the San Francisco 49ers. But some of my classes that I had to take at Notre Dame. I could have taken them other places, but not if I wanted to get that degree from Notre Dame, which is very important to me. So I had to come back and figure out when I could come back. And it was great to be able to come back for this summer, and everything worked out so that I was able to do it. My family is here supporting me, and it's just a great situation for all of us right now.
Being joined right now via telephone by Ricky Waters. Ricky, I want to talk about your career on the football field. You're one of those unique athletes that played an intricate part not only in a college football national championship with Notre Dame, but also in a Super Bowl championship with the San Francisco 49ers. That right there is rare air. Not too many people can say that.
Yes, and I'm very proud of that. Obviously, that's not just me. Obviously, I played with some great players, some great coaches, part of some great teams, but yes, I played hard. I always gave my all. I cared about playing football. I loved the game of football, and I'm glad I was able to be part of something like that, and it is a great legacy.
Let's talk about your time at Notre Dame. First off, you got to play for a legendary coach in Lou Holtz. You were in one of those unique situations. You played with a lot of talented athletes. And, I mean, even though you only won one national championship, you guys were in contention pretty much your entire time at Notre Dame. I mean, you were there, and I don't want to say the final heyday, but you were there right before Notre Dame football started going into somewhat of a slump.
Yeah, and I have to tell you something else, that Coach Holtz reached out to me and told me how much he was proud of me, and that's the kind of people who are here. So many of the players have reached out to me. They're so proud of me coming back to school, and they love what I'm doing. It's really a family. It's a family atmosphere. That's why we were able to play so well, and that's why we played so well so many years in a row, because we believed in each other, we played for each other, and we played like a total team.
Who were some of those players that you developed that close relationship with that have reached out to you today to express how proud they are of you?
Oh, it's pretty amazing. Rod West reached out to me. Rocket Ismail has been a good friend of mine ever since I met him, really. and we're very tight to this day. If I go to Dallas, I'm staying with Rocket Ismail. If I go to Chicago, it's Pat Terrell, and he's another one of the guys that reached out. So many of them have. Jim Sexton, the punter. It's just Tony Rice is still a good friend of mine. Chris Zordich. There's actually so many, and we stayed so tight. And that's pretty amazing because I played on three different professional teams as well. And for us to, when I really think back on it, I have good friends from playing in on a pro level, but nothing like the teammates that I have here and at Notre Dame, and how we stayed close. And another guy was Pat Eilers, who reached out to me too. It's really a special feeling when you come back here, when you're around these people, when you get to see people who you know not only enjoyed playing with you, but actually care about you.
Ricky, I want to talk about Notre Dame just a bit more before we move on. It's such a tradition when you talk about college football. You actually got to put the gold helmet on, run out of that tunnel and onto that field that has so much tradition. What was that feeling like?
It was a great feeling. It's great being a part of such a rich tradition. With me, having grew up with a Catholic background, I went to Catholic school my whole life. Every team I played for was a Catholic team, and it was all, and we were blue and gold because it was all about trying to emulate Notre Dame, and to be able to put myself in a position to play for such a prestigious school like Notre Dame, and to be able to have the success that I had, and now to be able to come back and hopefully get my degree and finish what I started. It's just a great feeling, and I would also be remiss if I didn't talk about Reggie Brooks, because Reggie Brooks he works on campus now. He's still here working, and he's helped me a lot with this and helped me to bring this into fruition as far as being able to come back and finish up and get my degree.
Is it tough to be on campus and not be a part of the football team as far as workouts and practices go, or is it kind of relaxing?
It's kind of cool. It's cool because, number one, I have some of them in my class, and we don't know each other so well right now, but some of them are coming up to me, and they're like, man, I didn't know you were Ricky Waters. They're like, oh, my God. And they're like, I'm so proud of what you're doing. And these guys are so much younger than me, so it's great to hear them say that they're proud of me, and they're picking my brain and asking me things, and I get to talk to them. And Coach the running back coach, Tony, he had me come over and talk to the running backs. So that was really cool to be able to talk to them, because I was able to tell them some of the things that I noticed and realized that from a standpoint of being somebody who played and then somebody who has also come back now and is finishing up to get my degree, I can tell them so many things I've noticed, so many things that were important to me, and to, like, not to kind of sleepwalk through this, not to kind of go through it and not realize what type of good situation you actually have. I mean, you have an amazing situation. You have people who are someday probably going to be CEOs of companies. They're going to be around the world making things happen. And to get to know some of these people out here, and to, you know, things like sitting up front. I used to sit in the back. Now I sit up front. And to make sure you're on time and early and all those things. So it was really good for Tony Alford to have me come out and talk to the players. And the best thing is when you talk to players like that. And you know the young guys nowadays and their phones and everything. But when they're looking at you, they're hanging on every word that you say. Every word is coming off my lips. I can just see they're grabbing onto it, and they're not even moving. they're just listening to everything that I'm saying, because they realize that I have been where they are now, but I also have been where they're trying to get. And so I think that's just a great feeling to know that, and to see the way they look at me, and to see that I can set an example for them, because if I'm doing the right things and they see me doing it, why would they not do it? And then they can say to themselves, if he could do it, man, I know I can do it. I need to get my degree. I'm going to follow through, and I'm going to do my best here at Notre Dame as well.
Ricky, there's plenty more I would love to talk to you about, but I got to get out for a quick commercial break. Do you have time to hang around for one more segment?
That's not a problem at all.
Great. We're going to continue on our conversation with Ricky Waters when we continue here on Drive Time Sports.
Is your smart TV smarter than you? Or how about all those devices and streaming options? It all seems a little complicated, right? Actually, it's easier than you think. Imry Telecom is here to help. Their trained professionals will come to your house free of charge and help you set up your new streaming devices and show you how to use all those devices and apps. Watching your favorite shows just got a whole lot easier with Imry Telecom. Give them a call today at 613-9605. Let Imry Telecom hook you up.
With my mom sick and me living out of town, it gets difficult to stay on top of her medications. I'm so grateful we found Pinnacle Peak Pharmacy. With their free home delivery service, I don't have to worry about how we'll get mom's medications to her. I can depend on Pinnacle Peak Pharmacy to make sure my mom has what she needs, so we can both have peace of mind.
Pinnacle Peak Pharmacy, adjacent to the Castle View Urgent Care Center. Transfer your medications today by going into the pharmacy or calling 637-6337.
We love and worry about our children 24 hours a day. We'd do anything to help them succeed and reach their highest potential. At Castleview Physical Therapy, we're happy to announce the arrival of our new pediatric occupational therapist. If you've ever noticed or worried about developmental delays in your child, give Castleview PT a call and schedule an appointment for an evaluation. Occupational therapy in children can help improve their motor skills, play skills, and even their communication skills. Early intervention is a key to helping a child on their way to a happy, healthy life. Call Castleview Physical Therapy today at 637-4148.
Accounting, agribusiness, business administration.
USU Eastern now offers 24 bachelor degree programs right here at our local campus.
English teaching, elementary education, family life studies, health education and promotion, history, human development and family studies, liberal arts, management information systems, marketing, mathematics education, psychology, recreation resource management.
Visit usueastern.edu for more information. USU Eastern, small enough to care, big enough to get you places.
You are listening to the best of Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 with Jordan Boscarini.
Life in the fast lane, moving at the speed of life, and I can't slow down. Only got a gallon.
And we're back here on Drive Time Sports. It's a Monday edition of the show, and we have kicked things off for the new week in style. We're going to continue on our conversation right now with our special guest who was joining us via telephone, former running back for the University of Notre Dame, spent some time, 10 years to be exact, in the NFL with the San Francisco 49ers, the Philadelphia Eagles, and the Seattle Seahawks. Ricky, let's transition from your college career to your pro career. You go from one storied program at Notre Dame to the 49ers. I mean, that's unique in itself. You go from one legacy to another.
Yes, and I would really, I know I'm biased, but I would really love to say, and I think a lot of people would not argue me on this, that those two teams on those two levels are probably two of the best teams ever. I feel like I was a part of one of the best college teams ever, and I was definitely part of one of the best professional teams ever. That 49ers team, I would put us up against anybody on any time, any era. We were tough. We were fast. We were a well-oiled machine, and it was great to be a part of that.
Yeah, you go to the Super Bowl, you blow out the San Diego Chargers, and again, there were a lot of personalities on that team. I know you had your somewhat, what's the word we could use with Steve Young, your calm leader, but on the flip side of that ball, you had your flashy leader in Deion Sanders. I mean, both sides of the ball, this was a unique team.
Yeah, definitely, and what people might be missing with Steve Young is how tough he is. I mean, he's such a tough competitor. He has that stoic look. Yeah, he's real calm and cool and collected. But when it comes time to play, there is no more of a tougher, serious competitor than Steve Young. And he just did a great job. And it's no easy task to follow somebody great as Joe Montana. And for him to come in and follow him and play the way he played and to handle things the way he did. He was a great leader for us. We were so happy to get Deion, and it was so great to play with him instead of against him. We had a lot of great players that came over to play with us at the end of their career, and it was just so much fun playing with that team. It really was.
Ricky, I've always had this question as far as your days at Notre Dame transitioning into the NFL, because you played multiple positions at Notre Dame. They moved you from running back to flanker to running back. When you were selected by the San Francisco 49ers, obviously there were a lot of genius minds in that front office. Did you ever believe that you had the possibility to play flanker in the NFL, or did you realize you were going to be strictly a running back?
Well, I knew that they brought me in to play running back, and I thought that I had proven myself as a running back. And they had the great wide receivers there. I mean, so I didn't think they really needed me as a wide receiver. You got Jerry Rice and John Taylor and all the guys that they had out there at the wideout position. So, but to be able to play in a system like that where I was able to catch the ball out of the backfield and do all the things that pretty much I was groomed to do. Like you said, I was kind of groomed at Notre Dame to be able to play in a system like that and obviously flourished in that system.
Well, you did have a stellar NFL career. You also spent some time with the Eagles and the Seahawks. If you have to go back and pick a time, I mean, who do you want to be remembered playing for? Is it the 49ers?
Well, I wish I could have all three, like going to the Hall of Fame and all that. I wish they could just put all three, because I learned something at each place. But if I have to pick one, it would have to be the 49ers. They believed in me. They drafted me. They gave me that shot. We won the Super Bowl with that team. So, you know, it was a great time for me. When I think back, it was a great time, great city, great fans. It was a lot of fun.
I got to get your thoughts on that Super Bowl with San Diego. I know you guys won that going away. The quickest score, one of the quickest scores in Super Bowl history, is Steve Young fired a pass down the sideline. All in all, the nerves were probably there, but did they settle when you guys got off to such a brilliant start in that game against San Diego?
It was almost dreamlike. It was almost like didn't have time to get the nerves going because we were so fired up and pumped up, and the fireworks were going off and everything, and before I knew it, we started playing. And it was just like practice. We had gone like months without the ball touching the ground. No fumbles, missed snaps, no drop balls, anything. I mean, we were on such a high and playing at such a high level that we were ready. And when we went in there, it was kind of amazing because I almost felt like, because of the smoke of the fireworks and everything, it was nighttime, I felt like, man, when we jumped up 21-0, I was like, man, don't tell me I'm going to wake up and realize I was dreaming. And the game didn't even start yet because it happened that fast. But it was a great experience, one of the best of my life, and I just wouldn't trade it in for anything in the world. Like I said, to be able to play with Ricky Jackson, Richard Dent, all those guys that I looked up to, and now they're on my team playing with me, and Ken Norton Jr., and I mean, we had so many great players on that team, and for us all to come together like that. And I had so much fun playing with William Floyd, who was a rookie at the time, but came from Florida State. He's another guy that won a championship in college and won a championship on a pro level as well. It was just a lot of fun because he was cut from the same cloth. We were rapping and going on and having so much fun before the game, and we were ready to play. We came out ready to go.
Again, being joined right now via telephone by Ricky Waters, former NFL running back. Ricky, you were a part of the last Notre Dame national championship team. You were a part of the last Super Bowl championship team of the 49ers. If you had to pick one, I got to take one of your rings. Which one are you keeping?
Oh, man, you can't have any of those rings right there. they mean too much to me, and both of them are very special to me. And it's just one of those amazing things because I know probably a lot of people would say, man, if you just looked at them, the Super Bowl ring is just amazing. It's so many diamonds, it's so big and everything. But being a part of Notre Dame and the tradition and winning a championship for them, it means just as much to me.
Well, you are on campus right now. You've talked to Coach Tony Alford, the running back coach for the Irish. What do you think of the team this season? I know they got a brutal, brutal schedule, but from the outside looking in, what do you think about the Irish this upcoming year?
Well, I think having Golson come back, that's going to be a big part. The running backs are going to be solid at running back. Wide receivers, they got tall, rangy guys. They can get up and get the ball. I feel like they're going to have a tough defense. They're going to have more of a fly around type of situation where they're going to blitz a lot. They're going to cause havoc. I think it will be a lot of fun. It's going to be very interesting. Obviously, they have a tough schedule. They're going to play some great teams, but they have the right attitude. I went and saw them practice. I walked by. I have a later class. One of my classes is at 6:30, and they're practicing when I walk by. And I get to look, and then they're just pumped up, and they're like, ready, go, go, and doing all this stuff. I mean, you could just tell they're ready to go, and they're fired up about this year. And I just think they have a great coaching staff. The coaches really get it. Coach Kelly really gets it. He understands what it's all about. He welcomes us with open arms. The older guys, he wants us to come back. He wants us to be a part of it. I think that's important for the young guys to see that has not always been here, believe it or not. But I just think that he has that right mindset, and I think they got a great chance to do some great things, and I just hope that they come together and gel at the right time.
Last question before I let you go, Ricky. This is going to be the first year for the tournament in college football to decide that national champion. Give me your thoughts on the playoff system, if you think it'll work, or if you prefer the old system.
I have always wanted a playoff system. I wish they had it for a couple of years that we didn't make it, because I thought that at the end of the season we were the best team, and if we played a playoff situation, we would have gotten in there and we would have done very well and fared well against the teams that we would have ended up playing at that time. So I always feel like playoff is the best way to be able to play it on the field. Don't want to have anything left out there like, oh, well, this team was undefeated and the other team was undefeated. I wonder if they played. Well, let's play, let's get it on, and let's really find out who is the true champion.
Ricky Waters, former NFL running back, also a storied career for the University of Notre Dame. What a pleasure to have you on the show, Ricky. I know you're extremely busy, so thank you for taking out the time. And again, congratulations on going back to finish your degree. A true inspiration. It's a great story, so I thank you for sharing it with us.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I also want to give a shout-out to my boy Steve Elmer. He's a sophomore O-lineman. Going into his sophomore year, O-lineman, he's in two of my classes.
Yeah, you got to do that then. You got to give the big uglies their credit, right?
That's right. That's right. He's a great kid.
Thank you, Ricky. Have a great day. I do appreciate your time on the show.
All right, no problem. Thank you for having me.
That's Ricky Waters, former NFL running back, spent 10 years in the league, five-time Pro Bowl selection, Super Bowl champion, and he is a member of the 10,000-yard rushing club. What a great way to start this week. We're going to take our last commercial break. We'll come back, put the final touches on this Monday edition of the show right after this.
This is Dr. Kelly Jensen of High Desert Orthopedics. I know that a quickly treated sports-related injury will heal faster and get your athlete back in the game sooner and healthier. That is why my staff at High Desert Orthopedics is committed to making sure your injury is assessed and treated started within 24 hours of when you contact my office in almost all situations. So if your athlete needs treatment, call High Desert Orthopedics at 637-BONE. High Desert Orthopedics, the best care your athlete deserves.
Ford Truck Month is here. Hi, I'm Justin Kennedy, sales manager at Price Ford. I'm so excited to announce that Ford Truck Month is here just in time for hunting season, football, and the weather to cool down. Along with the weather cooling down, so is Price Ford's prices, with savings up to $14,000 off on 2019 F-150. 0% interest for 72 months on F-150 is available for Ford Truck Month as well. Buy a new Ranger, F-150, or Super Duty and receive a Ford Tough OtterBox cooler with a value of $350 with any new truck purchased during Ford Truck Month. Our selection of new trucks has never been better. Come down to Price Ford and save big.
It's 6 a.m. and you jump out of bed to get the day started. Is the first thought in your head, how will I get everything done today? The kids have sports practice, need help with homework, and you have a meeting for the club you just joined. Plus, the grocery shopping hasn't been done in 2 weeks. There's nothing to cook for dinner. KFC can take care of dinner for you. Stop by and order a $20 fill-up meal. Your choice of chicken, large coleslaw, 4 biscuits, and 2 large mashed potatoes and gravy. Delicious dinner, affordable and filling. KFC, saving your time and your dinner.
You are listening to the best of Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM.
Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM, continuing the countdown to Super Bowl 53. We've got another great guest joining us today. He's a two-time Super Bowl champion. He spent 11 years, in the NFL. He spent the majority of his time with the New York Giants, playing defensive end from 1983 to 1992. Spent 1 year with the New York Jets and 1 year with the Washington Redskins. He's a two-time Super Bowl champ and a two-time Pro Bowl selection. He is Leonard Marshall, joining us on the phone right now. Leonard, a pleasure to get you on today. Thank you.
You're quite welcome, sir. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So whenever I say the name Leonard Marshall, it's kind of synonymous with the 1990 NFC Championship game. I guess that's a great place to start with this conversation. That's what you're most known for. I don't think there's any doubt about it. Your hit on Joe Montana in that contest that kind of changed the course of history. I'm sure you get that a lot, right?
Well, I get it quite a bit. You know, and the one thing that people like to reflect upon is the fact that they were going for a three-peat that day, and there was a chance and opportunity for them to play for a third championship 3 years in a row, and we were the ones that were looking to knock them off the block a little bit.
You guys did play the 49ers earlier that season, and we'll talk a little bit more about that particular hit, but you lose to San Francisco in the regular season. I believe the final score was 7-3. You get a second crack at them in the NFC Championship, and I guess the coach that is relevant to Super Bowl 53 is the fact that Bill Belichick is your defensive coordinator during that 1990 season. What did you learn about San Francisco, and what do you remember about the preparation going into the NFC title game?
I remember the first time we played them that we weren't really in full throttle position. I mean, we have some players that were recovering from injury. We didn't have all our ducks in a row, and you know, I was a guy who wasn't really implemented in the lineup at that time, even though we were 10-0. You know, Parcells was trying to teach me a lesson, more or less, from holding out in training camp by not letting me start the first play of the game and really get my juices flowing and get my my timing down in terms of really getting into the game. So I had to be a player that came off the bench and made plays like that coming off the bench. So the second time that we played them, we had a bad taste in our mouth because we lost the first game 7-3. In their park, on their turf, and but yet we didn't have all our ducks in a row. The second time we played them, we made sure that we went there with everything in our arsenal, and we didn't want to leave anything to be left unturned. We wanted to make sure that when we left there, we left victorious, and if we didn't leave victorious, that it would more or less be a body bag game where either they knocked us out or we knocked them out.
Well, you definitely delivered a knockout in that particular contest. What do you remember about the play where you not only knocked Joe Montana out of the game, it's basically that was the last time Joe Montana ever started in a San Francisco 49er uniform, kind of changing the course of history, as you mentioned, making sure there was no three-peat. The Niners would not go to three straight Super Bowls. Leonard, what do you remember about that play specifically?
Well, I slipped. You know, the ball snapped, and I'm eyeing the football, so I can get a jump on the pass rush in the situation, especially being the weak side defensive end in the scheme of our defense and the guy who most quarterbacks feared. I wanted to make sure that I got a good jump off the ball, and the grass was so thick at Candlestick, and the field was wet. It seemed like they wet the field before the game, so I lost my footing on the snap of the football. Then next thing I know, there's a guy diving at my feet, trying to take my knees out, pretty much cut me down, and I end up crawling. And as I end up crawling, trying to get there, I look up, and he still got the football. The next thing I know, he extends his left hand to tell Jerry Rice to continue running. And as I've seen him extend that left hand, I said, okay, if I don't leave my feet and separate him from the football, they're going to score a touchdown here. The game's over. So I leave my feet, I dive. The next thing you know, I separate him from the football. Now, Mark Collins ended up whiffing the football. But I was hoping that it was one of those glamorous plays where, you know, LT catches the ball in the air, running it for a touchdown, and we put the game completely out of reach.
That obviously didn't happen, but the defense did make a big play. And sometimes I feel like your hit on Joe Montana takes away from the fact that you guys had to force a turnover late in that game to get a victory, and you did.
Well, we forced a turnover, and we ran a trick play on a fourth down with Gary Reed, as we faked the punt, and they had 10 men on the field, and we had everybody accounted for. We had practiced that play all week long because we knew that we had a chance to run a fake field goal on them or a fake punt on them, that we would take the shot to do it. And just so happened, we were at the plus, I think we were at the minus 45-yard line, and Gary decides to run a fake. He calls it, and he calls it perfect. And they run a counter play right up the middle, and he goes for like, I think 27 yards. It puts us in field goal range from that far to kick a field goal, which became the game-winning field goal.
Following that game, you guys go right into the Super Bowl. There wasn't 2 weeks in between games like there is today. When you knock off the San Francisco 49ers at Candlestick, you end their quest to go on a three-peat. The momentum, I'm sure, that you guys accumulated from that game was nearly unstoppable going into the Super Bowl against the Buffalo Bills.
Well, we knew we were believers at that point. I mean, we knew we were the better team, and you know, we knew that from the loss that we received in the season when we were 10-0. You know, to go back home 5 hours, think about that game all the way home 5 hours, and now you're 10-1. Well, we want to make damn sure that we get another shot at those guys. And we said amongst ourselves, we were the better team today, just that the better team didn't win. But if we get a shot, whether we get a shot in our place or their place, we're going to make sure we take advantage of it. And just so happened, we go on the road and we beat them in their park, and it was a convincing win. I mean, it was a 5 field goal game for us. And, you know, even though they scored a touchdown, a field goal, it was a 5 field goal game for us. We knew that we weren't going to leave it in the minds of our fans, that we weren't the better football team that day.
Again, we're being joined right now by Leonard Marshall, former defensive end in the NFL. Played 10 years with the New York Giants, won two Super Bowls. Leonard, this is something I've always wondered. Defensively, you guys were so good in that game, in the 1990 NFC Championship, but it comes down to Matt Barr kicking a field goal. And if we go to the Super Bowl, it's kind of a similar situation where you guys win on a missed field goal. So for someone who has done their part, and I know there's three elements to football, offense, defense, and special teams, but when you have done your part and the game is no longer in your hands with everything riding on it, how nerve-wracking is it to be on the sideline during that situation?
Oh, it's extremely nerve-wracking. But today's football, you know, is a lot different than football was back when I played. When I played, the games were defensive struggles. When I played, they weren't these high-powered offenses. Teams scoring 45 and 50 points a game. That was unheard of. You know, we wouldn't allow it as a defensive football team. We wouldn't allow it. And they didn't throw the ball as much as they throw the ball now. Now, you know, the ball's in the air, I don't know, 60, 70, 80 times a game now, you know, versus the ball being run, you know, 30, 40, 50, 60 times in the course of a game. So, as a matter of fact, you know, Bill Parcells had a motto: if we can run the ball in November, we can win in December. And that's because your running game gears up between September and October, and then in November you really get it going the right way, and in December you just begin to dominate people. And that's what we did as an offensive football team. We hit you with a strong running attack and a quarterback who couldn't lose the game. We didn't ask him to win it, but we just asked him not to lose it.
Leonard, you were a part of two Super Bowl championship squads, Super Bowl 25, and again the 20-19 win over the Buffalo Bills, but also Super Bowl 21 and a 39-20 win over the Denver Broncos. Which one means more to you? I don't know if that's a stupid question or not, but does one mean a little bit more when you look back on your career?
Well, you know, both games mean an awful lot. I mean, I got a chance to play with opposite two of the greatest linebackers to play the game. Both guys are in the Hall of Fame. I'm very proud of that, because I had a lot to do with their success as well as they had with mine. And that's Harry Carson and Lawrence Taylor. So the fact that I got a chance to watch Harry Carson walk out as a winner the last couple of years of his career, and I get a chance to win two championships with the greatest football player to play opposite me and play for the United States and Lawrence Taylor. You know, one of the greatest things I have to look back on in my career. Hopefully one day I'll get a chance to sit around and tell my grandkids a story about that guy and some of the things that I witnessed that he could do, not only on the football field, but the quality of person and the quality of man that he's become now that football is over for him, for both of us, really.
I think when you look back on the history books, the 1990 New York Giants, I mean, they got to be looked upon as one of the greatest teams, definitely one of the most historical teams as well. I did mention Bill Belichick, your defensive coordinator. Now Bill Belichick is going for his unbelievable 9 times this guy has gone to the Super Bowl as a head coach. What do you remember about playing for Bill Belichick as your DC?
His attention to detail. His attention to detail and his eye for talent was unbelievable. And the fact that he made sure that, you know, he didn't leave a stone unturned in terms of preparation, game plan, and execution. He demanded a lot, and we tried to give him a lot. And as a football player, he challenged me every day to be better than my best, week in and week out. And I think that's the thing that he carries with him to New England. You know, I hear stories from players all the time, but he's always in the locker room talking about, when I coached Leonard Marshall, he did this. When I coached Lawrence Taylor, he did this. When I coached Harry Carson, he did this. This is how I want you to do it. You know, and I've heard this from Jarvis Green. I've heard this from Henry Thomas. I've heard this from Willie McGinnis. I've heard this from several players. And they all say that, you know, he can never get away from his first two championships, which was with guys like myself and the men that I mentioned. And I think that that's what really shaped his career and his life in football, was the times he had in New York. Every time I watch the Chronicles of Bill, the two Bills, I watch him walking in and out of the Giants locker room with tears in his eyes, because, you know, he really wanted, to be honest with you, I think he really wanted to do all the things that he's doing now in New England. He wanted to do them in Big Blue here in New York and give these people what he always wanted to give them, which is, you know, a successful organization, one that he can look back on in his legacy and say, you know, look at the house that the two Bills built together.
Leonard, there's so much more I would love to talk to you about. However, I got a break for a quick commercial. Any way you can hang around and do one more segment with us?
You got it. You got it.
It's excellent. We have more coming up with former New York Giant and two-time Super Bowl champion Leonard Marshall when we return on Drive Time Sports.
Is your smart TV smarter than you? Or how about all those devices and streaming options? It all seems a little complicated, right? Actually, it's easier than you think. Emory Telcom is here to help. Their trained professionals will come to your house free of charge and help you set up your new streaming devices and show you how to use all those devices and apps. Watching your favorite shows just got a whole lot easier with Emory Telcom. Give them a call today at 613-9605. Let Emory Telcom hook you up.
With my mom sick and me living out of town, it gets difficult to stay on top of her medications. I'm so grateful we found Pinnacle Peak Pharmacy. With their free home delivery service, I don't have to worry about how we'll get mom's medications to her. I can depend on Pinnacle Peak Pharmacy to make sure my mom has what she needs, so we can both have peace of mind.
Pinnacle Peak Pharmacy, adjacent to the Castleview Urgent Care Center. Transfer your medications today by going into the pharmacy or calling 637-6337.
You are listening to the best of Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 7:50. The play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, continuing a conversation with our current guest, Leonard Marshall. Former defensive end in the NFL, played for the New York Giants from 1983 to 1992, also had short stints with the New York Jets and the Washington Redskins. Leonard, you did mention playing among two of the greatest linebackers in the history of the game, one being Lawrence Taylor. That's always a name that's going to be synonymous with defensive football in the NFL. What was it like playing with someone like Taylor, who was a kind of an innovator from that position, someone that dominated on the field, and of course, as you mentioned, you had a big part of that playing on the defensive line. What's it like helping someone with the ability of Lawrence Taylor?
Well, you know, his will and his ability to take his team and put his team on his back and carry them over the hurdle, whatever hurdle they could try to overcome, was just amazing. I mean, you know, his intensity was amazing. His team speed and his gift to the club was unmeasured. And I think the greatest talent that Lawrence had was he didn't speak it. He just did it. And that's what I liked about him, and that's what I enjoyed doing with him and playing, opposite him, is the fact that he didn't talk about it, he just overthought it. And, those memories are very fond memories. I mean, I can remember beating the Redskins three times the same season, the Giants having a ticker tape parade in the stadium after the game because Bear Koch wouldn't give us a ticker tape parade in Manhattan. So, you know, he wanted to make damn sure that we made a mark in New York that fans would never forget, and you know, the organization would never forget, and it would be synonymous with, you know, the great teams of the 80s that we put on the field and that won those championships.
Leonard, I remember talking to Fran Tarkenton not that long ago, and there's a quarterback that had a lot of success but never won a Super Bowl, and he said great players should be judged on their performance on the field, not on how many championships they won. If I go back over the course of your career, I mean, 1985 was probably your best season statistically. You had almost 16 sacks. You had 99 tackles that year. But if we go to that 1990 season, where you guys did win a Super Bowl, the 1991 season, in your mind, what means more? Statistically, your best season, one of your best seasons statistically, or winning a Super Bowl in your mind?
I think a combination of both. I mean, you know, during the course of my career, I'm playing three Pro Bowls. I'm all NFL four times. I'm defensive lineman of the year twice. You know, I'm MVP of the team three times. I'm playing with two of the greatest linebackers to play the game, in Taylor and Carson. And I don't want to forget that other guy, number 58, who raised a lot of hell on the opposite end of our defense. And Carl Banks. So, you know, I think the thing that means the most to me right now as I sit back and look back upon things is the front seven we played with was incredible. The front seven we played with will never be fieldable again in the National Football League. Teams just couldn't afford to do it. And the four guys that played behind us were just amazing as well. I mean, Mark Collins, Kenny Hill, Terry Kennard, Perry Williams, Greg Jackson, Myrick Guyton. I could just go on and on. Herbie Welch, I can go on and on and on about those guys. They were not only great men and great players, but they were extremely good men in the locker room, good guys to have on your ball club.
You definitely had a stellar career. If we go back to the 1989 season, you're on record of saying that the loss to the Los Angeles Rams in the playoffs was gut-wrenching because you felt like that team, your Giants squad, was the best team in the league. Again, we have a great highlight from that particular game with Flipper Anderson running through the tunnel. Does that count as the most gut-wrenching loss of your career?
Oh, no doubt. I mean, I ended up buying a home in Florida right after the season ended. Because that was such a gut-wrenching loss. I ended up buying a house in Florida, then in the offseason, part of the offseason, a huge part of the offseason in Florida, because I just couldn't take coming back here facing the fans, knowing that we were a better football team. And that 89 team should have won a championship, to be honest with you. That's how good it was.
Yeah, anytime you have a one-and-done tournament, I've asked this several times to professional athletes, how often does the best team actually win the Super Bowl when it's a one-and-done type tournament?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I mean, I always think about that. I always think about what if, you know, and then I go back to one of those Bill Parcells analogies, you know, in terms of what if. He would always say, what if a frog had wings? It would bump his butt before he landed. I'm like, okay, I'll have to use that someday.
Leonard, what's the biggest difference about playing for Bill Parcells compared to Bill Belichick, if you had to differentiate the two?
Both guys were intense. One guy was more attention to detail than the other. Both fierce competitors. One guy was a motivator. The other guy was a guy who just thought of it, and he'd tell you how he wanted it. And he expected you to deliver it that way. I think that's the difference between the two Bills. But one guy taught me toughness. One guy taught me what integrity was in the game, and to believe in what you see and not what you hear, and hit everything that's in your area. And I think that's the biggest thing that I took in the game, is I took a little different hold of them, combined it into one thing, and made it work for me.
If someone would have told you that back in your playing days, if someone would have told you that Bill Belichick would go down as one of the greatest football coaches in the history of the game, would that have surprised you?
No, it wouldn't have surprised me. As a matter of fact, I told people some 10, 15 years ago that they're going to end up changing that award and calling it the Belichick Award instead of the Lombardi Award, because I thought that he would change the face of the game, and he's actually showing you that. I mean, I can't think of any coach with 9 Super Bowl rings. Ever. As a matter of fact, they're going to end up reshaping the trophy because of this guy.
Yeah, I don't think you could really argue with that. I mean, the fact is that we'll never see a dynasty like this again. I know there's a lot of people out there that hate the New England Patriots, but I'm constantly telling them, Leonard, you have to appreciate what we're seeing, because I don't think we're ever going to see anything like this again.
Everybody hates a winner. Everybody hates a winner. It's always like that, you know. And I'm, you know, it's sad, but it is what it is, and that's just the way the world works, you know. I hear people now telling me, you know, I'm tired of seeing Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. If you're tired of seeing him in the Super Bowl, help your team get better.
Yeah. I got to ask you a question about rivalries before we wrap things up. You played for the New York Giants from 83 to 92. You ended your career as a member of the Washington Redskins in 1994. Was that difficult to put on a Redskin jersey after everything you had been through in New York with the Giants?
My greatest regret in my career is I'm 8-3. I'm playing defensive tackle for the New York Jets. I'm completely out of my element. I'm playing a brand new position. I'm replacing a great defensive lineman for the Jets in Dennis Byrd, who got injured the season before, and it was a career-ending injury. And we're 8-3. I break my forearm in December. The Jets go on to lose the last remaining ball games of the season, and they miss the playoffs. I wanted to win for Leon that so bad, because the man treated me with like gold. When I joined the organization, they rolled out the red carpet, and I'm telling you, all the way through the development of that football team and trying to help Bruce Cosman and Pete Carroll and a young defensive coordinator and a young defensive line coach and Greg Robinson really put a good team on the field that could compete in the AFC East. That's my greatest regret, that I couldn't win for Leon S. That I didn't give that man an opportunity to win.
When people look back on your football career, are you okay with the idea that you're remembered by the hit on Joe Montana? Are you okay with that?
I am. I am. I mean, it's part of, you know, it's part of my career and my legacy in football. So I kind of am. I'm saddened that, you know, the impact of the play had the profound effect on his career that it did. But yet, you know, it's part of the game and nature of the beast. So, and I understand that, and I'm quite sure he does. And I've seen Joe several times, and, you know, I've said things to him that, you know, to pretty much let him know that, you know, I am sensitive to it. I feel horrible for what happened. However, you know, it's the nature of the beast. I mean, you know, it's part of the deal. So, and he understands that, and a lot of his teammates do as well. So, you know, one thing I do look back on that I'm very proud of is the men that I lined up with and I played with. That they're all still men, and none of them are in jail and having all kinds of problems and all kinds of health issues. Many of them are doing well. We're still as close as ever, the 86 team guys and the 90 team guys, and that means an awful lot.
Last question before I let you go, Leonard. How much do you pay attention to the NFL game today? And with that, I got to go in for your Super Bowl prediction for Super Bowl 53.
I mean, I watch. I'm a fan. I love some of the young guys, the characters that are in the game. They now allow you to dance and do all your craziness when you score now and you make big plays and all that stuff. They kind of took that part of the game from us back when I was playing, but now they're allowing that back in the game, and I think it's colorful. And I think it's entertainment for the fans, and I like the fact that they do that. You know, in terms of the game, my team was a team that got pushed out, New Orleans. I'm a Saints fan. You know, I'm from New Orleans, so from that area. And, you know, was rooting hard for the Saints, hoping that Drew Brees made it and got a chance to go to the big show again. But unfortunately, his team is not in it this year. So, because he's not in it, I got no other thing to do than other than root for Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots. So my prediction is New England by 7.
I can't wait to see what Bill Belichick has for this Rams defensive line, because you being a former defensive end, I'm sure you could appreciate the fact that New England's going up against Ndamukong Suh, Aaron Donald, Michael Brockers, and Dante Fowler. It's a lethal front four.
I'm dying to see what he does against that high-powered offense. I mean, if you go back and you look at what we did playing a high-power offense in Buffalo Bills, we played 2 defensive linemen, 5 linebackers, and 4 defensive backs. Against the Bills, and we dared them to throw the football. We continued the running game to Thurman Thomas. In fact, Thurman Thomas had 130, 140, 150 yards in the game. But we made sure we took away the deep ball, the deep throw, and the passing lanes for Jim Kelly. So they didn't beat us with the big deep end cuts and the long ball plays. We made them throw the ball short, dump it off, and then make sure we tackle a guy in bounds. So it's going to be interesting to see how he game plans against this high-powered Rams offense and whether or not he let Todd Gurley run the football or not.
Absolutely. Leonard Marshall, again, it's such a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so much for the time. And enjoy Super Bowl 53. It was a pleasure to hear some of your memories.
I'll do my best. Thank you very much.
Again, that's 2-time Super Bowl champ Leonard Marshall joining us on Drive Time Sports. We are out of time. Do not forget, tomorrow we have a huge show. We'll be joined by New England Patriot running back James White, also backup quarterback Brian Hoyer, and Denver Bronco all-time great Steve Atwater. That's coming up on Drive Time Sports tomorrow. Be safe. I'm out.
Serving all of Eastern Utah, this is News Talk 107.3 FM and 750 AM. KOAL. Price.